Well, are we on?
We're on. We're live.
We're on again, huh?
We are.
Another Saturday.
Another Saturday.
This is the Don and Wynn Show.
This is the Don and Wynn Show.
My name is Don Newsome, and who are you?
I'm Wynn Free.
That's right.
Forever Free.
And actually, we've just switched ourselves around. I'm actually Wynn, and that's Don. And thank you for joining us. And, you know, for the past couple of weeks, it seems like I've dominated the shows. So, Don, I'm going to make you dominate the show today.
Is that because you don't have anything to say, or what?
I always have something to say. I mean, or what should we talk about? You have to figure it out. I'll go along.
Well, all right. There's a lot of wonderful things I'd like to talk about, but I can't hear myself all that well in this darn, with this darn headphone set. Hold on, maybe. There's a little better. Can you hear it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anyways, we have some great new shows. We just brought aboard a fellow named Derek White, SkyCloud.
Mm-hmm.
Phenomenal. Phenomenal. I you know, I've heard a lot of people say a lot of things, a lot of psychics, give a lot of readings. He was phenomenal.
He's a psychic. Is he an Indian, Native American?
You actually should go to the website and find out. He's incredible. He's worth checking into.
Okay.
Yeah.
What does he do? What makes him special?
You know, I don't know, but his energy is fantastic, and he just seems to be in touch. Not only is his energy great, but his readings are flawless.
And what kind of readings does he do? Does he, like, talk about past lives or just predict your future?
You know, I'm not sure. I would imagine he does it all, just about.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, do you hear that hum?
Nope.
You don't?
Mm-mm.
Strange.
Is Linda Moulton House still doing a weekly show?
No, she doesn't. No?
She did a couple shows or one or something?
Yeah, she did a few shows.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things changed. You know, there's been a lot of changes to the network. A lot of changes to the lineup, all for the better.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at it now. It's phenomenal. And these people, you know, that we have on now are fabulous. Fabulous. High-quality people with great intentions, at least most of them.
Mm-hmm. So who's on? Come on.
How have you been?
Wait a second. It's supposed to be your show. Who else is on? Who else is new?
Well, Derek White, SkyCloud, is fabulous. And he's doing a show with us called Between Two Worlds. And he's just starting. He's fabulous. We also have Dr. Pat Basile, who will be on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Pacific. Fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
Fabulous. And of course we added Christopher Holmes. We doubled his time because Dr. Holmes listening to him will put you in a trance, and a funny mathematical one at that, because it'll make sense to you. He's a genius, and what he says makes sense. I don't care who you are. He's on a realm all of his own, and it's very powerful. He's a powerful individual. He has a great understanding of how the cosmos and all science really ties into the spiritual. I think he's got a phenomenal grasp, better than anyone I know. And zero point, basically, what that means. The eternal now.
Is he a psychic?
You know, no, I think he could have been. He just chose, before he got here on this plane, at this particular incarnation, he chose to be what he is now for the greatest potential. Because, you know, even being a psychic, he couldn't get a message more powerful out than he's doing right now, being who he is. But, yeah, I'm sure he, you know, if he wanted to be have any psychic ability, I'm sure that he has it all, with or without knowing. We have, of course, Mellon Thomas Benedict coming, living at the speed of light on Sundays. He has a near-death experience which has changed even several people I know of and who also host radio programs with us, changed their lives. He's an incredible individual.
You had Damian Brinkley on, didn't you?
We've had him interviewed a couple times.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, we have, you know, some of the other newer ones that came on, like Sarah Robinson. And, of course, we have Rebecca Jernigan, Donna Sebo, Mary Jane Pop, who will be starting at noon every day, Monday through Friday. Donna Sebo is Monday through Friday at 3. And then we also have at Friday at 6 p.m. coming, the Zany Mystic. Yeah. He's starting this coming Friday.
A Zany Mystic?
The Zany Mystic.
Now, who is that?
Well, the Zany Mystic is something you can read about. Phenomenal shows, folks. I don't have hours to go into all this. But check it out. He comes before Chris Morris. Then, of course, after Chris Morris is Rob Duchesne and Nicole Bray with W Paranormal.
Uh-huh.
Right? And they're fabulous. They work well together. They kind of have their own way of approaching things, and they have fun. And, of course, there's so many other shows which already are on the lineup. And spreading out, adding, like making Sylvia Abraham added more time. Michael Goger has more time. You know, there are others.
Mm-hmm. So
Carolyn Evers now, she has a 2-hour every other week plus an hour a week show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's some people that have added to their lineup. Chris Moores now has another hour, Transcendence World Movement.
Mm-hmm.
Been a lot of changes.
So you and I are pioneers, huh? Weren't we one of the first 3 or 4 shows?
Yeah, probably.
Way back when?
First handful, yeah.
And how many shows are on now?
Oh, I don't know, 50?
50.
Roundabout guess.
Mm-hmm.
I don't keep track. Although I filled out the schedule. There isn't another. Folks, don't be looking for another show on the lineup. It probably ain't coming.
No more shows.
Well, no, we're not taking any more shows right now. We're crammed. And we get about, you know, how many people want to do shows. And the only reason these shows are the way they are today is out of the synchronicities that they're there.
Mm-hmm.
For no other reason. I'll tell you, most people who emailed me never got a show.
Mm-hmm.
Never even had me reading their email, first of all. Really didn't get a show. It was the synchronicities that put these people where they are now. The schedule actually today was the last. And I filled it out today, and now we're done. It's over. We now have our schedule.
So how many hours of shows a day do you have?
It's a lot.
How many?
Well, 10, roughly, per day.
10 hours of shows.
Per day.
And this is listener-supported.
This is live, mostly. All live, except for maybe a few.
And listeners support it, right?
Listeners don't support this.
They support it by listening.
Well, yeah. I mean, I thought you meant monetarily, of course. But the listeners are why we're here.
Yeah.
I mean, it's because of them we're here. They don't need to pay to do it. I mean, this is too important. I mean, I'm hoping that. I mean, whenever we do live shows, I can tell you this, folks. You're never gonna have to pay to listen to live shows, not on this network. You know, we want to get the message out. In fact, we want to get it out wider. That's our goal. These people that make up our schedule have a message. All of them are important. fabulous, the energy. I mean, I wish each and every show host now could actually shake each other's hands. Because they've really done it. They filled it out. This is the energy that's going to make PBS skyrocket. There might be a change here and there in the schedule.
Yeah. How many hours?
As months go by, but effectively, this is it.
How many hours a day are you working?
Well, figure 10 hours. You know. You know.
A minimum.
I'm at that 10, right?
Yep, you have 10 hours
a day. And I have four kids.
Right.
All 7, 5, 2, and 1.
Four kids and a wife.
And a wife. And then I have my own life. And, my own job. And, of course, then...
Your side job.
You know, when I wake up, I mean, you don't just open up and there you go. You're going to be here doing all sorts of work, which is all the web work, design work, coordinating, talking with people on the phones consistently. The paperwork's deadly. Computer work and everything else. But it's worth it. You know, the people are worth it. The energy we're building is incredible. And it's working on people. I get their emails. It's a remarkable little... Look, we're almost like a cult, okay? PBS Radio. You know, but I can't say that. That's a bad choice of words, but I say that because, you know, we don't have a massive following. You know, we have a very select group of people that are quite aware or becoming aware. And so it's a very effective group. I can't say it's huge because we're not looking for numbers. We're looking for quality in the listener. And what you're finding now is that energy that's mixing the quality is bringing a buzz and a hum and an overall good and very powerfully intentioned energy, which is growing at its own pace. And moving remarkably well. And who would want to interfere? I certainly don't. I don't want to make it what it isn't, and I don't want to stop it from being what it shouldn't be, or what it should be. You know, it's let it happen. PBS is just, you know the new slogan? You see it on the bottom of the index page?
No.
It's PBS, where life takes you.
It's PBS, where life takes you?
Where life takes you.
Well, that is a lot better than the old slogan.
You like it?
I think
and,
so.
You know, it's just where life takes you, PBS Radio.
What was the old slogan?
Who cares? We got a few of them. Recreating the world with every listening moment is a good one. And, of course, if it ain't mainstream, it's on BBSRadio.com, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a few others that we're going to be adopting and throwing into televised commercials here soon, folks. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to put a bunch of strings of slogans, just like what you're hearing. If you know of a slogan, if you think of a good one, in fact, we'll be doing this shortly. If you think of a good one, we'll be doing contests for T-shirts, if we use them. Because we want to get about 10, 15 good slogans that when you run them on a commercial, they're cheap. They're a few seconds long, they're filler, and you can run them in various networks all over the place. And all it is just a little filler that says, if it ain't mainstream, it's on BBSRadio.com. Boom, next commercial. See what I mean?
I think I made that one up, didn't I?
Yeah, you might have done that one. I don't know.
I think I did.
Who knows? Probably. You're a creative guy. But Dr. Bell and I really came up with Where Life Takes You, BBS Radio. We did it the other day, and then, you know, we're going to put these into commercial format, believe me, folks, we know how to do this, so we'll go. Anyways, bring a little more awareness to BBS Radio. That's the idea.
Mm-hmm. Well, the goal is to bring things forward to people.
Well,
they're not getting anywhere else, right?
Yes, it is. It's to bring some semblance of reasoning to the insanity that's been going on. Not only that's going on, but continues to go on in your lives. I thought Carolyn Evers, great show. Folks, listen to Carolyn Evers' show. every other Saturday and every Sunday. 2 hours every other Saturday. Do not forget to listen to her show. And I'll tell you, she said something very profound, or the interviewed guest said something profound, Matea, excuse me, that life, what you see, is really your own fears before you. Everything you see in front of your life is your own creation. In other words, you created it all, everything you see. If you see it the way you see it, you created it. Not that you're that powerful, but that's your perception. And since it's your perception, and that is what you are perceiving, then you created that reality, and therefore you are responsible for how it is perceived by you.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, really, what you see is what you are coming to grips with, what you fear.
Mm-hmm.
So
I don't think you should say it that way.
I don't know if it was said quite that way, but it's something.
What you see is what you project.
What you're looking at when you see a lot of negativism.
Not everybody has fear, you know. So.
Correct.
So.
Correct. I know, but it's how you perceive it. I guess was the right way.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you know, you've been doing a lot of channelings.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, the one you sent me, I read.
Mm-hmm.
And you haven't sent me really anything else.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you've been so busy that I didn't want to, some of these things are pretty deep, and I just thought, you're not going to have time to read it, so. why send something?
This is my co-host, he's spinning you a yarn here, go ahead.
No, why send something when you're getting a little more space now, but, you know, for a couple of months between moving and having all the shows, it's like, I didn't want to overflow your cup, so to speak.
My cup runneth over, and it always will.
Yeah.
So don't worry about it.
But then it stains.
I love my cup that runneth over.
Then it stains the table.
I didn't mean my mouth.
You didn't mean your mouth?
I didn't mean my mouth.
Mm-hmm. So you don't have a BBS joke page yet, do you?
No. Is there any good BBS jokes floating?
Oh, there's probably some.
There's got to be some. Hey, you know, now that's a contest.
Now, someone did...
Hold on, wait a minute. Now, that's a good one. BBS joke t-shirt. Come up with a good BBS joke. You know, with BBS in it?
Mm-hmm.
And get yourself a t-shirt. Not a t-shirt, a polo shirt, and a bloody nice one with our logo on it.
Mm-hmm.
We're not talking just your t-shirt, we're talking a good one, a nice one.
Mm-hmm. Somebody sent me something really pretty good recently. Let me see. Oh, yeah. Now I'm pulling my computer out. You know, I just got back from probably 2 weeks on the road, and...
They're still looking for you.
They are?
Yeah.
Who is?
Well, whoever.
The road?
Well, no, you know, why you went on the road.
I went on the road to give talks.
Oh, okay. Well, they're still looking for you.
And actually, it went really well.
Did it?
It really did, yeah. I mean, I'll tell you, we did something in what city? What, in San Diego. It was in San Diego last Sunday.
Whoa, what a fast city.
And
people are quick, aren't they?
Well, I don't know.
They're just fast.
I went into a convention center.
They think fast, and usually, I don't know. I remember living in San Diego.
You do?
I didn't like the energy then, but that was two decades ago.
Yeah. Well, you want to know why that was, Don?
I think it had something to do with the business integrity of the community.
But it also might have had to do with you.
And yeah.
Remember, you just said that.
Exactly so, and I agree with your point.
What you project, I mean...
What you project, you get. But then the energy you feel, true, very true point, but you feel an energy, and it's not vibrating with you, then are you projecting that?
You know, this is all very tricky.
Interesting point, isn't it?
I mean, we can have a discussion about this, because these are things that I think about.
Yeah, that's a good one. You ever asked
Well, I'd rather answer it for my own level. I mean, after like 4 years of asking questions and answers, I get an idea of how they think.
Yeah.
Or how it works.
We may have a caller. Let's find out.
Now, if she's drunk, don't leave her on too long. Hello, Don. Now, I don't know if this is a good system. When Don says, hey, we have a caller, and disappears. Well, I guess...
Hold on. We have a caller, and the caller has to get on the air with some psychics. And I told you that we were, and that we put on the air. So hold on.
Are we psychics?
Where are you? Okay, hold on.
Okay, lady, you're getting on the air now.
Okay.
Hello?
Hello there.
Hello?
So you've actually...
Can you hear me?
Can you talk louder?
You've actually dared to come on the air with Don and Wynn?
Hello?
Yes.
We can hear you.
Okay, I want to know my mother has any messages for me.
Okay, hold on.
Okay.
Stay with me. Can you hear us now? Can you hear us?
Can you talk louder?
Okay. Can you hear us now?
Yes.
Okay, good. Okay, now that we got the levels adjusted and there's a little bit of feedback, as you can hear, you wanted to know something about your mother?
Yes.
And what did you want to know about your mother?
She has any messages for me from the other side.
Ouch. Ouch. Wynn, you're right. We shouldn't have taken this call. Ma'am, you know,
What's your name, Pat?
My name is Elaine.
Elaine? Now, let me tell you that Don and I are not psychics.
That's correct.
Every other show he's got on, he's got psychics except us.
And we felt really bad about that.
Why don't you have some on?
We wanted to bring you on the show because we felt that bad about it.
Will you have me on tomorrow?
Will we have one on tomorrow? Did you want a reading of your past?
With who?
With me, right now.
No, that's okay. All right.
You want a reading of your past?
Okay.
Okay. You know, I don't do this very often, and I'm not really all that good at future readings, but I'm pretty masterful at recent past events. And so there was a moment when... you know, you decide to pick up the phone and you made a phone call. And a short while later, weren't you put on a radio program?
Hello, can you talk louder?
Were you not put on a radio program here recently?
No.
You weren't?
No.
You weren't put on the air with a recent radio program?
No, I wasn't.
Okay, will you write this? Will you grab a pen and paper, please, and write this down?
Okay.
Okay. I want to, because later it'll hit you. You know how psychics do that, Wynn?
Huh?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, write this down. Okay. The number, okay, write bbsradio.com.
bbsradio.com.
Yes, and it will hit you later on. Somebody, somehow in your life, it'll come back to you. And you'll remember that in your recent past.
Okay, all right, thank you.
You bet.
Don?
Yes?
I don't think you should try to be a psychic.
Why? You know, I gotta tell you, I thought I did that really well. I thought I had the past firmly in my grasp. And I thought I laid it out there well.
Hmm.
What do you think, Wynn? Do you think I deserve my own radio show?
Probably
not. But hey, the problem is, I've got one, and it's with you.
That's right.
And I love you. And you were my partner in that crime. You tried to tell the truth, as did I, right? I even tried to give an accurate past reading.
That was a past life reading.
No, it was a recent past.
You told somebody the past life.
It was a recent past reading, and one I did, I thought, quite masterfully. But then, I don't know anymore. I don't know what anything anymore.
You don't?
I love you, Wynn. I do. You got to tell me another one of those channelings that you had, that you read for us last time. The one you read last week was fantastic.
Well, you know, when I was reading channelings before, you were complaining about it, like we always, you know.
Hold on, folks. You know what he's doing now? He's trying to make me beg. Right?
No, I'm not trying.
Come on, admit it. You want me to beg for those channelings?
I'm not trying to make you beg.
Well, then give them up. Read them.
Oh, a channeling?
Yeah. I mean, you've been telling me about these phenomenal channelings, and from the source, and I know where the source, you know, the girl you channel with, and I've spoken with her numerous times. I love her channelings.
Mm-hmm.
But you're very stingy with them.
Well.
You always give yourself excuses, and then you put them on your co-host, like, I don't have the time. Since you assume I don't have the time to read them, you won't send them to me. Wow. I don't even get a chance. Anyways, okay.
Oh, I'm very sensitive.
I just had to rip on you a bit there.
I'm very sensitive about this stuff.
Well, take that to heart then. Send me the channelings.
How about if we figure out how to get group energy going right now?
Group energy?
Yeah.
That sounds like it's a doable thing.
Do you know that the one thing they say, you know, everything we do, we always like saying, oh, it's out there, it's out there.
You know, like, hold on, I have a hard time adjusting your levels.
Am I talking too loud?
Either too loud or too soft.
It's out there, it's out. Is it? Where is it? Is it out there? Is it in here?
There you go. That's about right.
Are you me or are you not me?
Am I you? Well, that's a good question.
If we're projecting movies right now,
yeah.
I mean, which you said, we're projecting.
Right.
What are we project? What are you and I projecting?
But very good. No, see.
And what is everyone who's listening
that's
projecting?
The veil of separation, isn't it?
And how do we change the projection so that we're all on the same screen?
Well, mentally take a picture of it. See,
well,
there's a veil there, isn't there? The answer right now is yes to both, isn't it?
Speak up. I'm listening to you.
Well, right now the answer is yes to both because really.
The answer is what?
Yes to both.
Yes?
To both. To both.
To both?
To both. B-O-T-H.
V-O-G-H?
Oh, close.
B-O-A-T?
Yeah, boat. There you go. It's close to boat. And since it's so close to boat,
mm-hmm.
You know, you're living in a veil. Because
mm-hmm.
when there is that separation between you and others, and when you have your own matrix you're dealing with, and you feel that separation, that's the veil. Because it is you, and what you're looking at is you.
Now, how do we get through the veil? How do we do it?
Well, like I said, mentally, this might help. Mentally, take a picture of what I just said. Take a grid, or almost like a loincloth, or I don't know. Take some sort of a bed sheet,
mm-hmm.
a quilt. There's a good one, a quilt.
Get a quilt.
Get a quilt, and each quilt has squares. And when you focus in on one square, you're that's you, and what you're seeing is all the other squares. Really? But you're really the entire picture, thinking that you're just that one little individual square. That's the veil. And you've got those veils between all the different separations. It's like levels of separation. I'm just giving you a 3D model that's really hard to look at. I can't really, you got to extrapolate it out and do like 4D and see what I'm talking about. But you're really not separate. You really are what you see. You are what's within. You're as above, so below.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're the micro and the macro.
But people feel separate.
You know, they do. And I do too at times. You know, most of my life, actually, it's when I don't feel separate is when I get the greatest amount of joy and depth to my meaning to who I am. But, you know, those reflections or meditations are, you know, not as often as they should be, and I'm feeling guilty for that. But
now you're judging yourself.
Yes, again, there you're correct. I am.
Now you're
guilt,
judging yourself
bam,
and feeling guilty.
And I project it. Bam. You're correct.
For not being more one with everything.
Right, I know.
Right?
I know. See, I know. I got to seek these little imbalances out and heal them. I have not.
Now you're judging yourself for being imbalanced.
Yeah, I got a block.
Right?
There's another one.
Huh?
Yes, thank you for pointing it out. I'm going to shut up now and keep sticking my foot in my mouth. Yep. Positive affirmations. That's what I love about Sue Storm, the angel lady. Talk about positive affirmations. She's the queen of it. And, you know, what Wynn's really leading to is, you know, seeing the positive in everything, and that's yes, and being a part of that.
But you know what? You know what? You can only do what you can do, and you start where you start.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, right.
And so, you know, I'll share with you. I mean, I'll just share with you some stuff that I think that is important in relationship to what we're talking about.
I would like that.
And it's like, you know, you can make a mental picture of how things should be, or you can hear people talk about it, and there has to be a way of taking that and making it into a reality. And judging yourself is not the way to do it.
I know.
You can't look at yourself and say...
Yeah, but what do you know when you know, like, I know there's so much out there that I don't know.
You know what?
And I wish to know it. Yeah, but really, I war with that because it's not a matter of that. You know, it's a matter of more of allowing yourself to be who you are and be in the moment and express who you are in that moment with the highest amount of your joy. I know, believe me, we're always battling that duality here in this plane. It's what trapped us in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a tough one because... You know, you have moments of clarity, glimpses of clarity. You're in the gap. You're in the zone, whatever you want to call it. And then they fade. And yeah, you know, when it's going to be nice when we can all return back to our former glory, because really we deserve it. And we're coming close to being a humanity.
Here, you know what? I'm going to give you a little reading here. It's okay to do that, right?
When anything you do is okay with me.
Okay. Well, I am not going to have your mother on my case saying...
As long as you wear gloves.
I'm not going to have your mother saying that you need to speak more, okay? I mean, your mother's got a powerful energy.
My mother is a powerful energy.
And you want to stay on her side.
Absolutely. Don't cross her, folks. She is incredible. No, she doesn't make any judgment. She's total heart. She taught me that. She doesn't reserve judgment. She doesn't apply judgments. She's seen so much and been in so much in her life that I don't think she judges anything anymore without compassion and love.
Uh-huh. Don, would you like to hear how this realm got started and screwed up? You want to hear it?
Yeah, and you know what?
This is not me. This is the Elohim.
Yeah, you know what? I love this. I'll bet you it'll fall right in line with some of what I understand, but
okay.
I'm very interested in hearing it.
Okay, they talk about holograms, and they say the holograms were originally created by a creator of that particular hologram. Another entity, this is before physical reality, before we got trapped here, okay? So there were all these spirit beings that could project out holograms. And
through sacred geometric patterns.
Yeah. Correct. Another entity could also see the hologram and desire to own that hologram. Were he to own the hologram, he had not created it, and did not have the power to erase it. Therefore, there was misidentification. So, in other words, somebody had a hologram and someone else desired to own it, and now the hologram wouldn't go away. It now was locked in. Because only the original creator could make it go away.
Right, and the second...
Now, let me keep going.
You know, that's interesting because...
Let me keep going. There's a lot of interesting stuff.
But can the original owner make it go away now if the second player is involved and doesn't want it to go away?
Therefore, there was...
So, hold on now. Well, what's the answer to that?
What's that now? Say that again.
Can the first player who created it make the first hologram go away, even though now it has a second contestant?
Apparently not.
See what
Apparently
I mean?
Not.
That's the fix.
Yeah. Apparently, once the hologram...
You're dead. It's
ownership,
there.
Ownership takes on this identification.
Yes.
It is identification at a lower level than the creation with the hologram.
Right.
In identifying with the hologram and owning the hologram, he does not have the ability to erase the hologram, so therefore the hologram secures persistence. Its true owner is the only one who can create and erase it. So then I ask the question, so once someone possessed a hologram of someone else, how did they take possession of it? Did they use force? Did the person give it to them? How is it possible for the hologram to go from one person to another? It was a securing by force, by persuasion, and by cajoling. In various means, holograms were obtained and collected. When? Now, the holograms were not physical representations at that point.
You can almost, hold on, you can almost imagine, like I have so many times in the past, a mental picture of... You being this very, very highly evolved being.
Who?
You, or me,
Yeah.
And working at the most extremely highly sophisticated computer, light computer holographic data banking is imaginable. And having kind of like that, almost like that kind of a flashback. It's weird. Anyways, sorry.
Okay. So I asked, were the holograms physical representations? They were thin approximations of reality. The more misownership of holograms and the more attention for a hologram to exist, the more solid the projection became. Think of that now.
Yeah, you start to get into dimensional reality.
When? So the ownership of holograms was the beginning of physical reality. Yes. When? How long did it take for the original thought form projection, if it can be measured in Earth time, to become a physical reality? Now listen to the answer. It is a continual conglomeration, collection, continually changing, and the creation of it is still going on. How long did it take to become a reality? Time did not exist. Time was measured by fluxations, gestations, gyrations of the holograms in motion. When? So the creation of the holograms, the persistence of the holograms, is also the beginning of the creation of time, because something could exist outside of the projection of the entity. That's correct. Now, I mean, I think this is incredible.
Well, it makes perfect sense.
Because now we can kind of see how we're creating our reality and our
indeed,
level.
Indeed.
It's because we possess it and each other.
Our own matrix.
The continual possession of it.
It's the possession of your
causes
own matrix.
Causes it to endure.
Correct.
Okay?
Correct.
Now,
That's called a. It works its way from one identity up to the next within a matrix or many matrices,
yeah.
Or within a hologram or several other holograms. It just fits the reason, doesn't it? Doesn't it?
Yeah. So then I asked, now humans can create holograms to become realities, even now, yes?
Yes.
Any spirit can, although they have much lost the ability for creation for solid holograms that can be seen by others. It takes a psychic or a very sensitive individual to be able to pick up the hologram of an average individual. There were great masters at the projection of holograms. Not every individual was adept at creating holograms of a nature that everyone could see. It took a magician of sorts to be able to make up the components and project them solidly in a way that others could see. Two or more magicians getting together could intertwine and create more and more to create thoughts and universes.
Yeah, how do you like the game now, folks? In other words, really, there was a book that was on the shelves, and I should slap myself for not buying it, but it was a book that I ran into many years ago, 30 years ago at least. No, 25. Excuse me, 25. When I was a young fellow. Anyways.
Now.
That book talked about the game and really that we're all a part of a game.
Mm-hmm.
And there are master players and minor players. And it's a spiritual game. But it really, you're inside it or you're outside of it at your choice.
Now we
get mixed into it and lower and lower, but it's really one big game.
God.
And you decided to play, you like the game, you're here, you're playing it now, but if you get right down to it, it's all a matter of veils, separation, slices, that you give a perspective and skew. Yes, Wynn?
Now, next question. On some level, we're experiencing a blending with Elohim and Ra both. Is this true? Yes, this is becoming more and more true. As you dip your toe in, so to speak, then you reap the rewards of the communication. Then as you stick your elbow in and your knee, then you will get more and more adept at the communication process, so to speak, dive into the lake and be able to swim. When? That should mean that we should be able to create holograms that can help recreate on this level if we have enough time to bring this level to a more positive direction.
Bingo, that's what we're doing.
Elohim, we can co-create with you and Ra can co-create with you in creating holograms and being able to foresee the consequences of actions of various people on this planet and to step into the chain of events and to divert an earlier event from progressing into a disaster. In this way, you and they and us will be able to transmute experiences within your earthly hologram complex. When? So it's needed to have people here that are actually anchoring the energy so that can happen. Am I putting that accurately? Yes. When? You can't transmute unless someone here can hold the energy. Elohim, that is correct, because this realm tends to become a vibrational dead zone disconnected from other higher realms. It resounds and echoes with its bomb blasts within itself and gets to be a runaway creation, veering it away from love and happiness. It needs a touch of love, a touch of beauty to be grounded within to regain its whole.
Are we doing that effectively, Wynn? Let me interject. Are we doing that effectively, you and I?
Are we doing it effectively?
Are we?
Well, we do it sometimes. When we do it, we do it.
Well, if that's our answer, we're not doing it well enough, are we?
But you know what? We're bringing up the idea here of doing it, okay?
Yeah. Well, it was a personal reflection. I think it just means we can do more, we can do better.
Well,
we can be BBS, better S, not better BS, better S.
Not better BS.
That doesn't even sound good. Now,
you know, they're telling me my conference calls can be a great help in this because, here is the key.
Well, let's finish your reading. Sorry to take you off on a tangent.
Well, the next question is, So the idea of conference calls can be a great help.
I agree.
It needs to be bigger, faster, sooner.
Yeah, there is a matter of urgency. Otherwise, you wouldn't have said bigger, faster, sooner.
Yeah.
Even though if you're in a one frame of mind, it's moving as fast as it needs to, as soon as it should, and it'll be here when it gets here.
Well,
I'm joking. No. There is a sense of urgency. You can feel it.
Yeah.
It's electric. But, you know, folks, don't ride the wave and become one with it. Do it at your own pace, because it's a freaky ride. Sorry.
Don, if we want to be more effective.
Yes.
If you want to be more effective on the show.
I do. Let you talk more?
Well, you know what?
Would you continue your reading, please? I love that reading. I'm sorry.
We have to have an intention.
Tangent.
It's through our intention that we cause something to happen.
Yes.
I mean, right now, we need to have that intention.
Yeah, what if we were all just having fun?
No, the fun is not an intention.
Yeah, but I mean, what if we were all just intending to have joy?
Well.
Wouldn't that be great? You know, two very simple issues, let's put it, that I've been working in my mind. The synchronicities keep popping it back at me every program I'm on or talk to on, and it's that we can either look at the world right now. Would the world change if everybody right now on the outside perceived everything as Jesus did with total love? Or would everything immediately change if everybody perceived or looked within and found their inner connection with Source?
Mm-hmm.
Both would work, wouldn't they?
Yeah, but you want to know something? You know, you're still talking about what if there. We got to go right to right now here. Right at this very moment. Right now. What's the intention? To create an intention right now. Because that's all there ever is. All there is.
You're right. Yes, thank you. That's
the intention of right now.
You're clear on that. That's correct. It's
and
right now.
It's like, if you and I intend, I mean, you know, there's things, let's put it this way. We can't necessarily, well, let me start off with this. If you and I intend to have the Elohim and Ra present here,
if we really
intend it. Yeah. They'll be here.
Well,
Why do you think when I call in the light, people get that energy? Because I intend for that to happen.
It's normal.
In a very serious way. Now, in the course of our show,
if not now, when is another statement that measures.
We can intend for things to happen, and we can intend.
Who said that? Osho? Or
just listen a moment.
Now, when?
We can intend that those who are listening. Want to join in our intentions. And then by our group intention, we can put things out like, let's send the light to Washington. Let's send the light here.
You know, if Art Bell or George Newry ever got on their program, folks, and they were to have, you know, a really powerful, you know, advertise it a bit in advance, and have a very powerful, powerful group worldwide meditation.
Art Bell used to do this, and it scared him.
Yes, I know. I heard the story, and it bothers me.
Yeah.
Why a guy with that much wonderful magnetic
but you know,
power
you know, I would suggest
for change.
I would suggest that it's a huge, huge responsibility to do that.
It is. If we ever get to that stage, we accept that responsibility,
and
we would
and,
definitely
and the,
do
the
it.
The way to accept the responsibility
is by doing it.
Is always
now
listen a moment. When you pull in these kinds of intentions and you ask for things, you always ask for the highest good of all concerns.
Absolutely right.
And in which case, there's a protection to your request. Okay?
Correct. That's correct.
And, you know, if you're just messing around and trying to do magic, then you might make a mistake, okay?
I understand. It's always good to have guidance.
Listen.
Did you read
that? Now listen to this. I ask them now, well, how do you make something really big once a miracle? Do we need some miracles in this world, right?
Right on.
I ask, how do you make a miracle? How do you make miracles happen? I'd like you to listen to this answer really, really carefully, okay? And everyone who's on the line, I'd like them to listen. Because we all need miracles, one way or another. We want things that are not present at the moment. And we would like to shift from where it is to where we'd like to be. And now here is how to make that happen from the major group Oversoul next to Ra. They're both group. I mean, I don't want to make them hierarchical, but they're different, telling us how it works, okay? So map out the journey from where one is to the result, the miracle one wants to achieve. Picture where you are now. Picture you at the end of the journey. Boy, did I just screw up here. You know that? Hang on. I just lost my place here. Here we go. Picture you at the end of the journey with the goal accomplished, the result achieved. You experience the trip in a nonlinear fashion, encompassing the whole trip. Don't leave out the beginning and say, I am at the end. I am healed. I am rich. Don't leave out the beginning. The trip starts where it starts. Don't leave out the end. The trip ends where it ends. Encompass the trip in a nonlinear fashion. Create an intention encompassing all parts of the trip to the end. One may have been short in time.
Whoa, that's powerful, you know.
In experiencing where you are now and where you are going, you may then transmute yourself through the journey to the end. When one is making a trip and going from the beginning to the end, obviously intention is what carries you from the next to the next to the next. If one is going to make the trip easier, one would have to pick the path where there is the least counterintention for the goal to be manifested, right? Elohim. One may even picture the trip without counterintentions. One may view the counterintentions as vectors impeding the progress towards the end result. One may map it, catalog it, observe it, note it, pray that those stops be taken away. We will listen for your prayers.
Wow, Lynn, that's a great note. That, I mean, wow.
So, right now...
Will you send me that one?
I'll send that to you.
And what about any others?
I'll send you some, okay?
Would you?
I don't want...
You would also post them for people
I don't want to put anything up unless you read it and are touched by it, okay? Is that fair?
That's fair.
Because you know what?
I know. I'm not going to change your mind on that. I'll read them. Just send it to me.
I mean, and the reason is...
Send it to me after our program. I'd like to read that.
This is not a message. This is how to do it. And we are doing it. And if you don't read it, it's like putting stuff out to other people and not internalizing it. And this is really pretty profound stuff. All of it is. And
you know, I love the people in my life, folks. People like Wynn and
now
others.
Look,
they all bring a clarity.
Don't switch the damn subject, Don.
A clarity and an edge or a faucet to my own way of being. It's really incredible. It's kind of mm-hmm. like artists working on a piece of wood, and I'm the piece of wood, the kind of being sculpted as we go. You ever feel like that? You're like this entity that's just kind of being chiseled and sculpted by all these factors and people and the outlook, you know, but you're growing within, and you're just taking more and more of it,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you're becoming a painting.
So listen.
Are you becoming a painting, Wynn?
Huh?
We're going to have a painting.
We're going to have to get off the air because Fred Bell's coming on.
Yes, this is true.
Right?
This is true. Let's close with...
Listen, you know, we just went through a really great explanation, really great, that anyone listening and really internalized that was given the keys on how to change their life, how to change the people around them, and how to change the world. We start where we are, we create a vision and an intention.
All right, here's your next task to ask.
Where we want to end.
Here's your next request for your next channeling. Okay? And this is to ask girlfriend X, correct?
Why?
Why? Ask girlfriend why. That if they were, if spirit were to give us 10 commandments, spiritual commandments.
If they were going to what?
No, not commandments. 10 spiritual bullet points on how, 10 of them, kind of like the commandments, but like the 10 simple statements that would put us on the road to self-awareness. What would they be?
Well,
could she come up with that?
I think there's stuff like that that has to come.
I know, but can you request that?
I think they've already said it.
Let them write it down.
Right at this moment.
I guess we're not going to get to that one then, folks.
We can try it, but I'm not sure it's the kind of question.
Well, I would like, do it as a favor for me.
And you know what? Everyone has their own dharma and their own way.
Yes.
And
let's just put them together.
If I was going to make an intention, John, we're about to close the show.
We are.
And I'm going to take over now to make my point. So just be quiet. All right?
All right. And for all the folks that are tuning in for the Fred and Bell.
We always argue show, a little like this, folks.
This is actually the Don and Wynn show.
This is the Don and Wynn show.
This is what we talk about. Thanks.
Right. We have a constant, repartee about
repertoire.
Cosmic things, okay? So, I want to take what we shared, and I want to utilize it right now, Don.
Okay.
So just share it with me, okay? Right now, let your and my consciousness become one. And let
ouch!
Pardon me?
Ouch.
Ouch?
Ouch!
What did I do, step on your toe?
No, it was your consciousness that killed me.
Let's,
folks.
Now, you know, Don.
Yes.
You're making fun of this. Do you know what you're doing when you do that?
I do. That's the funny part.
You are being a counter intention.
I am.
You are. I'm trying to intend for something to happen, and you are counter intending this.
They just told me I have to keep
rolling over the counter intention.
Right.
So those of you that are listening, if I sound like I'm rolling over Don,
it's because I am.
Because he's a counter-intention right now. But, we'll pull him in anyway.
I have been called so many things in my life, folks, but I've never so eloquently been called a counter-intention. I love it. I love it. You know what? That's it. I'm getting a t-shirt that tells me I am a counter-intention. I love it. Thank you, Wynn.
So Don is a vector there.
I am a vector. I am a counter-vector.
So, Don?
Yes, sir.
I'm acting like you don't exist. We're just going to go through this.
We're going through it.
All of you who are listening. And
I'm the thing he has to get through here.
Listen
so.
To, because Don could pull the plug on me because he's got the electronics. All of you who have been listening to our explanation from the Elohim of how to create things down here, how to engage their help, if you're really listening and you really have the intention right now, we can actually do something with our group intention. And that's what every Saturday we end the show with a calling in the light, which is another way of creating a group intention amongst those, Don and myself and those who are listening. And we just kind of roll over the counter intentions and the vectors. And whoever wants to share in this can share in it, and whoever doesn't have to.
We had no calls today.
And
that's a shame, folks. Shame on you, folks.
Probably because I let you run the show.
For not calling in today, folks, shame on you.
There's my counter intention there, rattling around in the background.
I can't believe it. Our wonderful audience and no
Father, Mother, God,
body called us.
We're going to call in the light. Now, this is actually kind of sacred, so don't be making fun.
Okay, I'm sorry. Folks, I forgive you. Shame on you.
Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect Don and myself, and that any negativity be taken to the higher realms and dispersed. We ask that light to connect with each of our listeners, and that they might perceive this flow of energy that's coming from the center of the galaxy into our zone, into our planet. Experience it as the light energy moving through their bodies, and that we can, at this moment, touch each other's consciousnesses and feel the energy coming from the top of our heads and radiating through the grid lines of the planet. And everyone listening, no matter where they are, right now, we can intend our energies to combine for a moment. And we can intend that those energies connect with the positive group souls that are working a service to others in higher dimensions. And we request the support of those group souls for our planet and for ourselves and for healing, for all those things that are service to other, that are in the highest good of all concerned. And we see this band of light surrounding the planet, and we see it touching in to Washington. We see it touching in to those people that might have less than noble intentions to do damage and hurt to our planet. We have the group soul, Oversoul, the two groups, Oversouls, to our planet, the Elohim and Ra. We're just going to assume that they're listening to us and that our voice actually makes a difference, because I know it seems really helpless oftentimes. But for this moment, imagine that it might make a difference. Imagine that your voice is being heard and that your intention is rising through the veil and giving permission for interventions and upliftment from other dimensions to our planet. And this is what we do on our conference call. My conference call, I should say. I do this, and Don's not there being a counter intention during it. But you're welcome to, Don. But check in, send me an email, winfrey@yahoo.com, if you want to come into the conference call. And basically, the most important aspect of that call, aside from we read channelings and bring really good information forward, is this tying together of our energies and being the ground crew to allow these higher forces to connect with us and work through us. And while we have this energy present, please send it to yourself, to your family, to those people you care about, to those people in need of healing, to all the places that are earthquake zones, that perhaps we can diminish any earth changes by the addition of this energy. And remember that each of us is part of God, part of all that is, stuck in a body. And as we assume the ability to have our intentions manifest, then we also start to remember, reconnect with the part of us that is a creative force and not stuck on this level, vying and competing for holograms. And on that note,
and thank you.
Love
and
you all. Thank
hold
you,
on. I wanted to say thank you, Sandy, for calling in. And for those accolades, thank you very, very much. We appreciate it, Sandy. We love you. And Wynn, you have the most wonderful weekend. Thank you for being my co-host and allowing me to co-host this program with you. It's always an honor and a pleasure. And the rest of my week always grows exponentially because of it. Thank you.
So, Don, you keep your intention really high.
I try.
You keep, don't try, just do it, just in the morning. Get your intention straight. So that you're impacting a lot of people through blogging service. And, you know, through your intention, you will impact them more deeper.
I agree. Thank you. Thank you. I will definitely do so.
All right.
And it's with good people like you that I will. All right, folks. Good night. I love you all. And up, coming up is the Dr. Fred Bell Health Science and Energy Show. We know you'll love it. He's fantastic. So, again, folks, thank you for tuning in and for listening to the Don and Wynn Show. And we will talk to you again next week, Saturday evening, same time. If you missed it initially, we hope to hear you next week, an hour earlier. You have been listening to BBS Radio, a bloginservice.com production and a Service to Others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.